God is bigger than my past. Y'all remember that last week? God is bigger than your past. I'll tell you a story. It was freezing, cold February day when I had my first turn. I waited for this pretty much all of my life, and I was finally ready, and I was old enough. I was 10 years old. Well, actually, I was finally tall enough. I had begged my mom to ask the priest, and one day I even asked the priest if it was my time, and both always gave me the same answer, no, it's not your time, not now, but maybe someday it will be. And I praise God that someday finally came. And that day my mother ironed my clothes that I needed to wear. I had a crisp white smock. It was called an alb. And I had a long black robe. My dad was excited too, and so he gave me a haircut. We always got haircuts in our house. He always cut my hair. Just shave my head, and that was it. Got it done. Right, Brandon? Just blow it. Cut my hair, slicked it back, and I was all set. So I arrived at my church, St. Augustine's, and I was there. Big church. Put up a picture of the church. Big church. And I got there early. I got there 30 minutes early, and there was no way that priest was going to find any way to disqualify me. No way. So I got there early, and I waited, and I waited, and then finally Father Divine came out. He looked at me and said, Danny Moore, are you ready? I stood up on my feet. I was holding my starched white alb and my long dress. Okay, then, he said, follow me. For the first time in my whole life, I was taken back to a room called the Narthex, where only the priest could go and a few people who served. So for the first time, I walked into that room, and the other boys were already there, and they were getting the chalice ready, and they were getting the golden plates ready for the altar. And I was amazed. I was shocked. They actually, for the very first time, allowed me to touch the holy plate, and I got to touch the chalice. I was in second heaven. The other boys showed me what to do, and when we put on our robes and we had to stand in line, and Father Divine walked by me up and down, made a few adjustments in my robe, and then he said something like this, and I will never forget it. He said to me, you're an altar boy. And I had waited to hear those words my whole life. And then he said, you are closer to God today than you've ever been. Wow. Then he stared at me. He looked at me like straight in the face. I got nervous. Did he know that I yelled at my sister just an hour ago before I got to church? Did he know that I lied to my mother about not brushing my teeth? I got nervous. But I took my finger and I rubbed my teeth and I was all good. I was ready. But I didn't feel close to God, as he made me think. Just because I had put on an alb, touched the chalice, now I was holy? Well, I didn't know any better. And so I held my head up high. I went on the altar thinking, I am closer to God now than I've ever been. Wow. Yet, even though I'm only 10, I figured it out. My own religious efforts didn't get me any closer to God. I was 10 and I figured it out. Big issue. You understand that? I was not. They told me I was, but I knew I wasn't. My religious efforts didn't do it. How about you? When have you felt close to God? See, for me, it was all about my religious service. And for many years, my own religious efforts were the way that I tried to achieve salvation, and I also tried to achieve staying close to God. Essentially, I did it. It was all about me. You understand that? Can you understand that about a child? But not just a child, even now I have to be careful. Some days my religious actions, praying, reading my Bible, worship, they make me feel like I'm achieving a certain status and I'm really close to God. It's all about my efforts that form the relationship with God. Essentially, I have to rely on myself. Do you understand? Today, I want to continue this series on Big God, Small Me. And today, we're going to look at God is bigger than my religion. Can we say that together? God is bigger than my religion. Now, this is more than a salvation message. This is actually a message for those of you who consider yourselves Christians and you still act like your spiritual lives are all about what you do. Do you understand? It is not. And so this morning we have to talk about it. And we've been looking at the life of Paul, and we've been checking out Paul's life and his admissions about his own life. And my hope is that as you understand who Paul was, you'll understand about how we looked at God. But my hope is not only that you'll see who God is in your life, but you hopefully can make some changes in your own life, because Paul made a lot of mistakes. How many of you know Paul made a lot of mistakes? Made a ton of mistakes. My hope is that you see how he learned, but I want you to also see the mistakes he made. And I kind of want to ask you if you're making the same ones today. This morning, we're going to be reading, you can open up your Bibles, the Philippians. We're going to be reading about his mistakes, and we're also going to be reading about the things he learned. So let's open up, because this is a very, very powerful, powerful passage. One of the most powerful. I guess it's all powerful, but I love this. Very, very powerful. Open up your Bibles to Philippians 3, and listen to what the Apostle Paul has learned. He says in verse 1, he says what? Further, my brothers and sisters, what? Rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. He's got to keep writing to the people so they get the message. But he says, as I tell you this again, it's a safeguard for you. And then he says, watch out for those dogs. Watch out for those evildoers who mutilate, what do they mutilate? The flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision. We who serve God by His Spirit. We who boast in Christ Jesus. And we put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have a lot of reasons to put confidence in my flesh. If someone else thinks they have reason to put the confidence in their flesh, I want to tell you, I have more. Here it goes. Circumcised on the eighth day. I am of the people of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As far as zeal, hey, listen, I persecuted the church. You want to know about righteousness based on the law? I am flawless. Whoa, flawless, he says. But, big word, whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, let me tell you, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I actually consider them garbage. Wow. In order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, my God and my Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Are you shocked? Are you dismayed? Can you imagine this? This morning I want to talk about this. It's quite a thing. Religion. I looked up the word religion and it's only mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. 5 times, that's it. And I want to define it for you. Religion in the Bible, according to the New Testament, is pattern without a purpose. Can we say that again? Religion is what? Pattern without a purpose. It is adding traditions and making man's rules and adding man's rules to your Bibles. You got the definition? That is called religion. Listen, the first way that our religion makes us big is what? We value just what I did my whole life. I valued what? My own efforts. I valued what? Can you put that out? I value my own efforts. You may value your efforts. But if you value your own efforts, Paul is saying what? You're a dog. You're a what? Hard word or what? So I got my own efforts in this religion thing. Paul would look at you and said, you're a dog. How would you like to be called a dog? I used to use that word when I was growing up. You're a dog. Paul says, you're a dog. Watch out for dogs, he says, right? Watch out for those dogs. Those people who do evil, they mutilate the body, and they say, well, we're circumcised, so I've got to be saved. Wow, watch out for them. They are called dogs. Watch out for do-gooders who value what? Their own efforts. Watch out for those people. You watch out. You actually should stay away from them. Amen? It is called religion, and you should have nothing to do with it. And all God's people said. Amen. You see, they prided themselves on being workers of righteousness. But they're dogs. Why such a strong word? Well, clearly, why would he call them a dog? You're a dog. Answer is simple. Any attempt to please God by your own efforts and you draw attention away from God is actually the worst sin you'll ever commit in your whole life. And all of God's people said, it is the worst sin you'll ever commit. Wow. Dogs. I keep thinking about it. But he not only calls them dolls, he calls them flesh mutilators. Imagine Paul saying, you're a dog, you're a flesh mutilator. Wow. You see, he calls them flesh mutilators because they were physically on the 8th day, as Paul said, he was circumcised in the flesh. And they say, hey, this is great. I've been circumcised after 8 days. No, you're not great at all. You see, the kind of cutting that God values is not the outside of you. He values what? The cutting of the inside of you. I like to call it the cutting of the soul. How many know God wants to cut your soul? Absolutely. He'll cut your soul. And so many of us are all worried about our flesh. Don't ever worry about your flesh. Amen? I call it God's open heart surgery. Because that's what he wants to do to you. Amen? What does he want to do to you? Open heart surgery. Wow. I don't know about you, but I am still not out of surgery. I'm still not out of surgery. Are you? You should never be. Something's wrong if you are. Why? Because God is working on your heart. Wow. You see, during that first century, dogs roamed around the city. But they weren't the kind of dogs that we have in our houses today. Actually, those dogs that were in the city, they were actually scavenger dogs. No one ever took care of those dogs. And Paul says, we're a dog. If you promote religion over relationship, you are a dog. If you promote externals over heart issues, Paul would look at you and say, you're a dog. If you would promote this physical ways of attaching yourself to God and not looking inside your heart, Paul would look at you and say, what? You're a dog. Yes, all God's people said. Amen. You're a dog. That's what he says. I'm sad to say that for many years as a pastor of this church, I was a dog. I tell you that today, I was a dog. I looked good. I liked to come and preach on Sundays. I even talked about things that God wanted me to talk about. The fact of the matter is, I would not let God deal with the issues of my heart. You see, when things got uncomfortable for me inwardly, a sin, a temptation, a difficulty in my life, guess what I would do? Run away. I'd run away. I'd cover it up. You know, when I sense the Lord trying to show me something inside of me where I had to face my own depravity, guess what I would do? I would run. I would turn. No, I'm not looking at that. And essentially when I do that, and when you do it too, you close out God. Correct? When you do it, you silence the voice of God. You silence his voice is really what you're doing. You're saying you want to look inside and see something? No way. And you silence the voice of God. You turn a deaf ear to what he's trying to tell you. And then after that, you pull yourself all together. You show up at church. You clean yourself off. And you're all good. You're actually a dog. You're actually a dog. Wow. It was not until it was really impossible for me to ignore my own deficits that I actually had to say, do the heart surgery. Have you gotten there yet? How about you? Are you in a hard place and the Lord's trying to deal with you, but you go like this? No way. You're not going there. It's too hard. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to feel. I don't want to deal with any of this. You have no right to operate on my heart. You are a dog. You want to stay on the outside. You want to dress up and look good. But really, when God starts to deal with you, you go, no, I can't go there. Paul would look at you and say, you're a dog. Because you are building your life on what's external. And the work that God really wants to do in you is on your heart. And you go, just leave me alone. Have you done it? How many of you have done this? Am I the only one here in this church that was, I've done it? Have you done it? Wow. I beg you. I beg you not to do it. Some of you are in your 30s and you're still not looking inside. Some of you are in your 50s and you still won't look in. Some of you are in your 70s and you still won't look. I beg you to look at your own heart. I beg you before God to look at your heart. Identify it. Identify your anger. Identify your lack of peace. Identify your frustrations. Identify those areas in your life that are really messing you up. I beg you to deal with it. Otherwise, if you don't, you will live on the external. And you will not let God do the work. Amen? Stop. Say, Lord, deal with my heart. Can you do that? Because believe me, God is still working on your heart. It's a lifelong process. The question you've got to answer is, will you let the Lord do it in your heart or not? I'd love to give myself the name Dog when I don't. Probably not a bad name for me, amen? Number two, you see, the second way our religion makes us big is really easy. If it's not your human effort, then you can rely on your resume. Paul is relying on his resume. Amen? Have you ever, can you imagine what a resume? You think you got a resume, Paul would look at you and say, I got a better one than you got. He would say things like this, Philippians 3, 5. I was circumcised when I was 8. I'm a Jew. I'm a member of the Pharisees. you are the law? I got this law down. I'm living by the law. Zeal? Hey, I persecuted these Christians. You want my resume? Here's my resume. What a list. I don't know about you. And then he says, without fault. Does anyone have a better resume than that? And we only have one word to describe the man. And the word is religious dog. He's religious. It's all on the outside. He says nothing about the work of inside. He's living his life by his resume. How many of you are living your life by your resume? Give me your resume, and you come up with this long list. You live by your what you've done. Wow. You're religious. You see, I believe Saul was a religious zealot. I believe religion was all over the man. He was on it. If there was a form and an outward work, guess what? I'll do it. I'm religious. Yes, and you're about as far from God as you any man could ever be. And all God's people said, amen. You see, Saul was really into all the extra stuff. Correct? He would love to add to the Word of God. It's called religion. Form without function. Rules without reason. Belief without the Word of God. That is what we call religion. And the man was drenched in religion. Whoa. How about you guys? If you went out to a party and people said, who are you? You'd pull out your resume and tell everybody all this stuff about you. I'll say it gently, you're a dog. But Paul would say you're a dog too, right? Wow. Or would you say, no, Pastor, I'm not a dog. I don't live on the outside. My life is where? Internal. God deals with my heart every single day. And I let him work on it. And those issues in my life of anger and bitterness and fear and worry, I go like, operate, God, operate. And not on the outside. Operate where? In my heart. Because I know that God is not concerned about my outside and what I do. He is concerned about my heart. I don't know about you, but I go, oh my goodness. I pray you're not sitting here today. And you're looking good, but all you have is religion. I pray that's not true. I pray you know the depth that God wants to bring you to inside of you, and you say, okay, Lord, do the work. One day I got an invitation. It was to a masquerade ball. You ever been? I was in a rush, and I didn't have a chance to get my costume, so I showed up like me. Can you imagine showing up at a masquerade ball looking like me? Well, the host of the ball saw me coming, and they ran up for me, and they said, here, put it on. So they gave me this mask. Put on the mask, they said. Well, I put it on. It was a mask. It covered my face. And I went into the party, and guess what? Everybody had a mask, and everyone looked the same. I didn't even know who they were. They didn't know who I was. Well, that didn't go on too long. Eventually, I was like, I'm not wearing that mask anymore. It's sweaty in there. And I really had wished they'd all take off their mask. And when I took off my mask at that party, guess what they did? He took off his mask. You can't take off your mask. They came back to me. Here's your mask. You have to wear your mask. I went, no. I don't want to wear the mask. I am not wearing that mask. You have to. Oh, no, I don't. I'm out of here. I walked out. I was like, I am not wearing a mask. I left the party. My host was upset with me. They wanted me to be put on a false front. They forced me to put on a mask. They all got mad when I refused to wear the mask. Sickening, isn't it? Is that what Jesus would do? By now, you might have figured out what I'm talking about. By now, you might have figured it out. And what am I really talking about? Christians. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about this church. Correct? Because if we come to church and we're just dealing with outside stuff and we're not letting God operate in our hearts to the real things that he is working on us, you can come here and you could look good, but you're a dog. Because the work God wants to do in you, you go like, silence his voice. I don't have to listen. I am going to live the way I want to live. That will be your resume. Oh, my goodness. You know, this point is so critical to our church that it really forms the basis of the new logo of this church. I want to show it to you because I pray it represents us. Here it is. New logo. Messiah Christian Church. Connecting real people to a real God. How many of you like that or not? Michael, what do you think, Mike? Good? Michael designed it for us. Thank you, Michael. What do you think? Connecting real people to a real God. I pray for that. I really do. You don't need to wear a mask when you come to church. Take it off before you come in, please. Wow. I really believe that when you take off the mask, how many believe when you take off the mask that real people can meet a real God? Would you agree or not? If you take off the mask, what? Take off your mask, then guess what? You now have the freedom to be real. Because if you keep being fake and phony and just dealing with the outside of you, you'll never come to know a real God. Do you understand that? You take off the mask, you can now be real. How many of you want to be real? You say you come with all your foils and your phobias and everything. That's okay, come. You're a real person. But you need to know a real God. Do you understand how this works? That's my heart for this church. And I know a lot of you agree with me, because I know a lot of you in this church want the same thing I want, and that is to get the mask off. Stop pretending being somebody that we're not. It's okay to be who you are. God loves you unconditionally. He's a big God. He's got enough love and grace for you that you don't need to keep hiding. And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. It is true. Wow. Be real. And be real in the light of his bigness. What? Say it again. Be real in the light of his bigness. You make God big and you small. And all God's people said. Now the key here is this. God is bigger than your religion. Amen? Because of what? How can I make that statement? What's the rest? God is bigger than your religion because of what he has done. Not what you've done. Don't get yourself all messed up. It's not what you've done. It's because of what he has done. I love Paul as he's giving his resume. Listen to what he says. Philippians 3:7. I once thought these things were valuable. Can we say that together? I once thought. How many of you are there yet? You look at your resume and you go, I used to think that was so good. I had such a great resume. But now you go, I once thought these things were valuable. What do you think? Can you do that or not? Are you still on your resume? Or can you say, I once thought that resume was the way to live. I now know it's not. How many of you figured this out yet? I used to live on my resume as a basketball player. Live on it. It's empty. It's garbage. It is nothing. Amen? You see, we, like Saul, we substitute. We substitute a number of alternatives for real faith in Christ. We don't really have a relationship with him. What's your substitute? What's your false identity? What's your false way of living? Good behavior? Anybody? Family connections. There's someone in my family who's a Christian. Knowledge? You meditate a lot? What's your false connections? What's your substitutes? Because guess what? If you don't know the real God, you will have substitutes. Amen? And they will destroy you. And you will never, ever be fulfilled. Wow. Don't even add religious duty. Don't even add moral responsibility to salvation. I hear people say this all the time to me. I don't think they understand. I hear people say, you can't get saved until you stop living with that person. Really? What is that person doing? Adding. You can't get married before you get saved. Really, where'd that come from? You added. You have to quit smoking before you get saved. You have to stop drinking before you get saved. You got to stop cursing before you get saved. Like, when did you start adding all this stuff? How many of us, what people do today? We're adding stuff. Why are we adding stuff? It doesn't even make sense. We have to stop adding. And why do you not have to add? Why? And the answer is very clear. And I told you, what is it? Why do you have to stop adding? Because it's not about you. You're not making big of you. You're making big of God, not because of what you did or not because of what you said, but because of what? Who he is. Do you get it? All the rest of that stuff is what? Religion. Adding. Don't add. Please, don't add. Know who your God is. Amen? You see, he says, I once was this way. But go to verse chapter 3, verse 8. Now, I once was this way. Now what's he saying? Oh, but now I consider these religious things. Read your Bible. They are worthless. They are, what does your Bible say? They are lost. What does your Bible say? They are rubbish. You guys got some rubbish? I hope you do. Get some rubbish, amen? Because he now considers this resume he had as what? Rubbish. Do you consider the stuff that in your life that you thought was so great? You say, oh no, I realize it's just a bunch of rubbish? Have you learned that lesson or not? I hope you have. Because all it is what? All it is rubbish. And yet we live by it. It is so destructive for us. And notice what he says. It's all rubbish. It's worthless. Because of, read your Bible. Why is it rubbish? Because of, who has your Bible open? Because of what Jesus Christ did. Why is your stuff rubbish? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you understand? Do you know? Whoa. You see, knowing here, he says, and I love this part where he says, verse 8, it's all rubbish. And then he says what? In comparison to who? What Christ Jesus has done for me. And then he goes on and says what? I want, read your Bibles, who's got it? I want to what? I want to know. I want to know Christ. You want your resume or do you want to know Christ? I want to know Jesus Christ, my Lord. Correct? Whoa, this is serious stuff. He recognizes the most important thing in his world is what? Knowing Christ. The most important thing is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, correct? I want to know him intimately. I want to know him personally. I want to know who he is and what he's done for me. And if I have that, I have everything. And all this other stuff that this world says is so valuable, he actually says all it is garbage. It's just a bunch of rubbish. Have you learned this lesson yet? Or are you still hanging on to your resume? Would you say the greatest thing in my world is to know a great God? I want to know a big God. I want to know the power of this God. I want to know the love of this God. I want to know the grace of this God. And if I know that, then I have everything. Everything I need. What do you guys think? Is this your life? Is this how you're living? Or are you still going by your resume? Really, I don't know about you. Really, what Paul is saying is that there is nothing bigger in this world than Jesus Christ. There is nothing greater in this world than Jesus Christ. There is nothing more powerful in this world except Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Do you know? Or are you living a different way? You see, the truth is, I figured it out. I'm not smart enough. The truth is, I'm not actually spiritual enough. The truth is, I'm not faithful enough. The truth is, I'm not good enough. The truth is, I don't have enough education. And the good news is, I don't need it. I have a Savior who is everything to me, and has provided everything to me. I get it. I know the truth. Do you? Or are you still leaning on stuff? It's all going to fall one day. Is Jesus enough? You can go back to your human works. But listen, Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses. You know what Ephesians 3:20 says? He is, who's got their Bible? Ephesians 3:20. He is, Gordy, could you get that for me? Ephesians 3:20. He is, who has it? 3:20. He is able. How many think God's able? He is able to do immeasurably? Immeasurably what? More than all. Are you there yet? All you. Do you believe this or not? He is more than, exceedingly greater than anything more than you can even think. Have you got that part yet? He's beyond you. He's beyond you. He's big, and who are you? You're small. And he is able to do exceedingly, what? Immeasurably more than all that you, in your smallness, can even think or even imagine. He's way beyond that. Way, way, way. Some of us got God in a box. We got God contained. We got him. We've got him right where we want him. You are so foolish. You could never do that. He's far greater than that. Do you understand? Or are you still doing your human efforts? Like, oh, I got to do these things. You don't understand. You need to know. Do you know that Jesus can make things happen that you couldn't even imagine? I'm going to say it again. Jesus can make things happen that you couldn't even think about. We've got God so limited. Why are you limiting him? You get up in the morning, you should what? Big God. Not big you. You're not big. You're never even going to come near to his power. You make him big, and you make you small, and you live for him by faith, and you will have the best life you can ever think or even imagine. Or you can keep trying to go back to all your human efforts, but let me tell you what they are. They're what? They're rubbish. They're rubbish. Wow. Ah, I love this big God. I get up in the morning. I go, okay, God, you're big. How many of you are doing this? You got to say it. Because if you don't say it out loud, your mind's going to go to work. And your natural mind's going to tell you what? You're big. You can be in control of everything. You can do this. You can get that done. When that happens, you stop and you go, God, big God, you're big. I got to tell my, that's how I get out of it. I say, God, you're so big. Let me live this way. Today, you're so big. You're beyond my thinking, beyond my imagination. That's how I do it. How do you do it? Or maybe you're not doing it. Maybe you're still thinking you're big and God small. You make God big. Amen? And you make you small. And then let God take over. Let God take over everything. Because he'll help you. He'll sustain you. He will keep you. Or how many of you here tell, hey, I'm worried if I'm going to make it. What are you worried about? See, you're going back to self-reliance. Not self-reliance, people. God-reliance. You rely on the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God. Break open the boxes in your life. Because guess what we have in life? We got a lot of boxes about God. We look at things and go, how could that work? What do you mean, how can that work? God can do what? Anything. You see, when you make those kinds of statements, you're making God small, right? You go like this. Hey, I'm dealing with life today. God, have your way. Do what you're going to do. I'm your servant. That's how a Christian should live. Amen? Live that way. It's the best life you'll ever live. He will do more than you could ever even think or even imagine or even try to do in yourself. Can't work. All God's people said. In closing this morning, I just want to say, can we have the team come up? In closing this morning, I guess I just wanted to ask one question today. Here's a question. You ready? Will you let God do surgery on your heart?